Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you on this Thursday edition. It's finally here. It is draft day 2020. You guys made it. We all made it together. We're under quarantine just as the rest of the NFL is. It should be very interesting and a very fun weekend of NFL drafting. So today, being draft morning, I haven't done it yet. I've got to drop my final big board and my final mock draft. So the entire first round of the mock draft, as I see it, both of the 49ers first round picks at 13 and 31, and my big board. I've got about 50 guys here. I feel really good about how I've ranked them. And then it's more like groupings for the rest of the rounds and a group of prospects that I like in certain areas when I do my shadow 49ers draft, which I will talk about later after the draft is over and talk about the players I like where the 49ers were selecting. And we'll see how often we match up this year. An interesting nugget here. Before we get started with the mock draft and my big board, there is a video that, and we've seen multiple times John Lynch showing up on video, showing his home setup. And today, or yesterday for you guys, I'm recording this just before midnight, Kyle Shanahan showed his home setup. And a very interesting nugget on that video, and some eagle-eyed folks out there found exactly the game he was watching. He had, much like when John Lynch did this earlier last month, when he showed his first initial home setup before he got his fancy setup with about 12 TVs, he was watching Mekhi Becton, or he was watching Louisville versus Kentucky. So maybe he was watching some Lynn Bowden, and he happened to be when they were on defense, and it was the Louisville offense. So Mekhi Becton was the guy on the screen. That's the big-time prospect that he was watching in that still frame. This time, Kyle Shanahan did have a game on still frame, which is interesting because that's something that you wouldn't want to be out there if you were watching prospects. And he's watching people the very last day. You would think that they're fine-tuning some things, looking for something. He had Alabama on. He had Alabama versus Mississippi State. Jedrick Wills, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, all on the Alabama offense. There's a prospect that they could be interested in, Cameron Dantzler. Cam Dantzler, probably a third-round type at cornerback that I could see being a fit in that range for the 49ers. Pretty good cover guy at Mississippi State. So it was Mississippi State versus Alabama. Alabama was on offense, and I wish I had the tweet now. Somebody on Twitter found the exact play and said it was a 38-yard pass from Tua to Jerry Jeudy in the play that was paused, the still frame in Kyle Shanahan's offense. Was he dropping an Easter egg out there? Or is it a smokescreen? Is he trying to throw people off? Are the 49ers really not going to take one of those Alabama guys? Jerry Jeudy, one of my favorites for the 49ers that I selected for them in the Locked On NFL mock draft special. Interesting. Should we take Jeudy, Wills, Ruggs off the board for the 49ers? I thought that it was interesting that Mekhi Becton was the player that John Lynch was watching, because I don't think of the top tackles in this class, I don't think that Mekhi Becton's a fit. So if we're going conspiracy theory with this thing, knock Mekhi Becton off your draft board for the 49ers. Knock those Alabama offensive players off your board for the 49ers. They're going in a different direction. And here's another little wrinkle to all of this. It doesn't go down this way in my mock draft, but Daniel Jeremiah released his last mock draft late night before draft morning, and he had LSU wide receiver Justin Jefferson going to the 49ers at 13. And Jeudy, Ruggs, CJ Henderson, they were all on the board at 13. He had the 49ers bypassing all of those players, selecting Justin Jefferson from LSU. Then he had him taking Ross Blacklock, defensive tackle from TCU, is a guy that I know Daniel Jeremiah really likes. Had him going 31 to the 49ers at the end of the round. You know, he mentioned he thought the 49ers could trade out of either one or both of those picks and thought he liked Jefferson better for the 49ers if they trade down, which I agree with. But that's the highest I've seen Jefferson go. And if you remember a couple of years ago, there was very late information, like the last 24 hours, that was connecting the 49ers to Mike McGlinchey. Might we be seeing that again? And it was a little bit surprising then because the 49ers didn't need a right tackle, but they made a trade after round one. Is it possible again that there's some late information? Kyle Shanahan throwing the smokescreen out there of the Alabama guys, and the Niners really do like LSU wide receiver Justin Jefferson. Very interesting turn of events, some intrigue, and we'll all find out very, very soon later Thursday. So let's get into my big board. Where is Jefferson? Where are those Alabama guys on my big board? Let's start with Joe Burrow, number one quarterback out of LSU. That one's easy, and he's a quarterback. A lot of people have Chase Young, who's my number two edge rusher out of Ohio State, at number one, saying, oh, he's the best player. But look, the quarterback's more valuable, so you got to put him up there. And for me, three is Tua. The injury thing is the only thing that keeps him out of that top two, because there's just uncertainty there. So it's Burrow one, Chase Young two, Tua Tagovailoa three. That's how I'd have them ranked right now. And there's, you know, obviously you're going to have better medical if you're with the teams, but they don't have complete medical. And that's one of the reasons why, if you're listening to the rumors out there, that Tua could fall a little bit, potentially even out of the top 10. Peter King had him falling to the Niners. The Niners trading back with the Patriots. The Patriots coming up to get Tua at 13, which I could totally see. I could totally see that happening. I could see if he fell to 13, maybe even the 49ers take him. They say he's too good. We like him. He's not going to play this year anyway, so let's worry about it later and see what we have at quarterback. Could get very interesting if Tua starts to fall. Or maybe it's the other quarterback. Maybe it's Justin Herbert that falls. And I don't have him anywhere near the top five, so maybe teams like him the way I do. Who knows? We'll see. Number four for me, Jeffrey Okuda, corner from Ohio State. Number five, Isaiah Simmons, linebacker slash safety from Clemson. I could see him playing linebacker. I'd see him play strong safety for the 49ers. If he falls, he'll probably be best player available. Is he one of those six for John Lynch? I don't know. Number six, Jedrick Wills, offensive tackle from Alabama. Number seven, Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver from Alabama. Number eight, CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver from Oklahoma. Number nine, Henry Ruggs, wide receiver from Alabama. Derrick Brown is 10 for me. I've moved him down. He was around number six. I worry about his impact as a pass rusher, and interior defensive line is just not where I want to go for the 49ers. He's a top 10 player. He's a monster. I could absolutely see him being the pick for the Niners and being best player available if he does get to 13. And I'm not really sure where I think he's going to go. He's definitely going to go top 15, and he's a monster of a player. But interior defensive line, I'm kind of down on right now, because if you hit, now you have to pay a guy a whole bunch of money, and they just decided they didn't want to pay DeForest Buckner a whole bunch of money. It's sort of the curse of having a really good player on your team. Eventually, you have to pay him a lot of money, and I don't want to sink a bunch of cash into the interior defensive line when you already have a lot of cash into a guy who's going to be, you know, a part-time interior, at least 50% of the time, and maybe more this year, in Arik Armstead. So that's why I have the defensive tackles down a little bit on this list. As much as I like Derrick Brown, I think I would select all those other players ahead of him. Number 11, offensive tackle Tristan Wirfs. I just think Wills, who's my number one tackle, is a safer player. I think he's a better right tackle. I think he would be a better left tackle if he was asked to play that side in the NFL. I think he'd be a better guard for 1 year for the 49ers too. He's just so clean, such a good prospect, really solid in every aspect, and a nearly bust-proof prospect, I think, in Wills. Not the same, more boom or bust when it comes to Wirfs, who's a fantastic athlete, very strong, has really high ups but some lower lows, and could end up being a full-time guard in the NFL. So I'm going with Wills. CJ Henderson, cornerback from Florida at 12. Big gap after him with the cornerbacks. Andrew Thomas, offensive tackle from Georgia, 13. Javon Kinlaw, defensive tackle from South Carolina, 14. Mekhi Becton, offensive tackle from Louisville, 15. I do think Becton's going to be the last tackle taken. I don't think he's a good fit for the 49ers zone scheme. He's athletic for his size, but he's 364. He's still not quite athletic enough for what the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan wants to do on offense. And he got popped for... He got a dirty drug test to the combine too, so that might really hurt him. He might fall a little bit. He might not even end up being one of the top four when it's all said and done. He could be in for a slide. Number 16, Justin Herbert from Oregon, quarterback. And this is where things get very dicey at the last half of the first round, because those are my solid players in that top, you know, 14 or so that I hope the 49ers are choosing from at pick 13. And if you listen to the show, you probably heard me talk about the elite group of players in this class that are about 16 deep. And I'm including my 15th and 16th on there, Justin Herbert and Mekhi Becton, because I felt most of this time that they'd be gone before the 49ers pick. So that kind of, it just pushes that group back to 16. But I feel best about the top 14 players, which is why I've been saying all along that I don't really feel good about the 49ers moving out of that top group of players. But the draft is going to be crazy, and there's going to be guys that I don't have anywhere near that going ahead of the 49ers, maybe to the 49ers. Who knows? We'll see how this thing goes down and see how the real teams feel about these players. Okay, more second half of the first round and the rest of my big board, and we'll get to the mock draft coming up. From an early morning breakfast burrito to a 12-pack of beers while you watch the game, sometimes you just need what you need delivered fast. And yeah, getting those beverages on top of dinner is key. And if you're like me, you probably start thinking about what you want to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch. You love food. That's why you'll love Postmates. They deliver food from every restaurant I can think of right to my door. But Postmates doesn't just deliver burgers and sushi. They actually make life easier with grocery deliveries, convenience stores, clothing stores, you name it. So no more trips to the store, which is so key right now. No more late night fast food runs. You don't have to worry about where you're going to grab lunch. Just download Postmates on iOS or Android. Find your favorites and get anything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDONNFL. That's code LOCKEDONNFL for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. The number 17 player on my 2020 NFL Draft big board, and this is through a 49ers lens, the way I rank these players. It's my big board, but pick these players for the 49ers. And you know, sometimes they're not perfect fits, but I don't want to move a guy out of a tier. And I'm not, we can talk about tiers as well, and we'll get that with the mock draft, but definitely in another tier of players here, starting at about 17, you know, 15, 16, 17, that area. And some players I like, and hopefully some of these guys will be looking at it, pick 31 for the 49ers. One of my favorites is Yetur Gross-Matos, edge rusher, defensive end from Penn State, 6'5", 265 pounds, 35-inch arms. He just built exactly like you want a defensive end to look. This is not a good edge class. If I'm going to bet on one, I'm going to bet on the guy that is really athletic, was productive in college, can play the run and the pass, every down defensive end, built exactly like how you want him to look. There's a lot of upside to go. He's raw, but still productive, so you can see where he would get even better. That's why I like Yetur Gross-Matos. Don't think he will get to 31 because, first, this edge class is bad, so he's probably at worst edge 3 for me, but probably, I mean, he's edge 2 for me, but for some teams, they might have some other guys up there, and maybe he's edge 3 or 4, but still, probably that many edge players will go before the 49ers pick at 31, and there's some needy team. I mean, everyone needs a pass rush, right? Christian Fulton, cornerback from LSU, love the way he played Henry Ruggs this season. That really stood out to me. He's really athletic. He had somebody pee in a cup for him during college. He got suspended for a long time, so that might push him down the board a little bit. Josh Jones, offensive tackle from Houston. He is my fifth, and really the fourth if you take out Becton, who I don't think is a scheme fit for the 49ers. Would love to see Josh Jones on the board for the Niners at 31. Cesar Ruiz, the best interior offensive lineman in this class, center or guard out of Michigan. Kalavon Chaisson is at 21 for me, edge rusher, undersized sort of stand-up outside linebacker type of edge rusher. Really athletic, didn't get a chance to run though, and wasn't really that productive in college, which is why I have him a little bit later than some people. Some people like him in the top 10 even because of his raw athleticism. Cornerback A.J. Terrell is number 22 from Clemson. Long, fast, played a long time and played at a high level. Didn't have a great national championship game against LSU. One of those players he covered a little bit. Not that much because Justin Jefferson's fully in the slot. Talked about him a little bit earlier. I think pick 13 would be about 10 spots, a little bit too high for Justin Jefferson. There's a nice gap between my top three receivers and everybody else. Justin Jefferson was wide receiver 4, and I like him. I just don't love him. High floor, high character player. One of the safer wide receivers, but not that fun, not that exciting, not high upside either. High character guy, so I think you could draft him and feel pretty comfortable. You're going to get a good, pretty good receiver, especially if you want to play somebody in the slot all the time, which is where he played almost every snap in 2019. Played more outside in 2018, and I didn't really watch much of that tape. So if the 49ers do take him, I have to go back to work and watch a lot of 2018, I think, of Justin Jefferson to see how I really feel. But I would be pretty underwhelmed by him at 13. But after a trade down, later in round one, would feel a lot better about Justin Jefferson out of LSU. The opposite if Justin Jefferson's one of the safer receivers in this class, Denzel Mims, one of the most boom or bust receivers in this class. I've got him right behind Jefferson. Wide receiver 5, 24 overall, 6'3", 207, has 4.38 speed. He can get deep down the field. He can make fantastic catches, body control on the sideline. He's tough. He will block you. And then he'll just like double catch the ball other times and flat out drop easy ones. A little bit stiff. He gets compared to DK Metcalf sometimes, which I don't hate that comparison. And look, DK Metcalf was awesome. The 49ers need that outside receiver. So Denzel Mims is an outside all the time guy. Justin Jefferson, an inside all the time guy. They could both do some other things. I'm sure they weren't really asked to do that much last year in college, but very different prospects there in number 23 and 24 in Jefferson and Mims. Then 25 is Jalen Reagor. If you want speed and you miss out on Henry Ruggs, later in the first round, maybe early second round, Jalen Reagor is your guy out of TCU. Very explosive, a little bit tighter, I think, than Ruggs. But man, the worst quarterback play I've seen from any of these prospects, Jalen Reagor. So he had to overcome a lot. But the speed and the smoothness isn't quite as, it's not on the level of Ruggs, but he is explosive and he is fast and he could be a big play guy. Could play outside or in the slot, give you a little run after the catch. Number 26, Grant Delpit, safety out of LSU. It's just range. That's why he's my top safety. Flat out range. You can play him in center field, single high in the system the 49ers run. I mean, they're not going to pick a safety, I don't think, especially a free safety after re-upping Jimmy Ward. He could play some strong safety, I guess, but tackling is his big, it's a big thing. He had a, was it a collarbone? He had an injury where it might have affected the way he tackled as a junior in 2019 than before, because he was on another level earlier in his career and they thought he was going to be a Jamal Adams type that was going in the top 10 of this draft. But yeah, tackling was really poor, but man, the range and what he can do on the back end, covering side on to sideline, nobody else really has in this class. That's why Delpit's my number one safety. I don't know if a safety is even going to go in the first round of this draft. Number 27, staying with LSU, linebacker Patrick Queen, undersized, super athletic, instinctive, a modern-day linebacker. TCU cornerback Jeff Gladney, number 28, small, scrappy corner. Zach Bond, undersized edge rusher out of Wisconsin at 29. He's your classic undersized, try-hard guy, really productive in college. Had some injuries. I don't know if he's going to sneak into round one, and I don't think he's really a fit for what the 49ers do, more of a 3-4 style outside linebacker pass rusher. Brandon Ayuk, wide receiver out of Arizona State at number 30. I love the way he runs after the catch, sort of a poor man's Debo. He gets compared to Debo Samuel a lot. He's not on that level, I don't think, as a route runner, but super long arm, weird body because he's kind of shorter, but has these super long arms and big wingspan. He's got speed. He ran a 4.50. I think he plays a little bit faster than that. He can get down the field. He can run after the catch, but a little bit raw, has the thing, some things to work on as a JUCO transfer, as a route runner, and sort of a later breakout age for Brandon Ayuk in his football career. Number 31, AJ Epenesa, edge rusher, sort of a five technique, outside-inside guy in a similar mold to Eric Armstead. You know, long, big, powerful end that could rush from the inside, so you know, maybe a little bit redundant there for the 49ers, but 31 feels like about the right range for AJ Epenesa. Kenneth Murray, linebacker from Oklahoma, height, weight, speed guy, a little bit light on the instincts. I was a little bit disappointed watching him, but he has all of the physical tools, and I think he will sneak into round one. 33, Jordan Love, quarterback out of Utah State. It's hard for me to draft a guy like that in the first round, but the tools are obviously there. You know, great arm strength. He makes some throws that you're like, wow, but man, he threw way too many receptions. Bad, just bad decisions. So that worries you a little bit. Maybe he's somebody that a team wants to trade into the end of round one, where the 49ers are at 31, and get themselves a quarterback with that extra year of control and get that fifth year option. So I could see something like that. Some people like Jordan Love more than that. Middle, round one, it's just a little bit too rich for me, despite all of the tools that he has. Number 34, Trayvon Diggs, cornerback from Alabama. This is where it gets tough, and this is like, these are the guys that I'd be okay with after a trade down, but I wouldn't feel great about a lot of these guys at 31 because Trayvon Diggs, no 40 time to confirm. So I think it'll be hard for teams to draft a corner with no 40 time in the first round. There's a few of those guys in the second round as far as the defensive backs go. I really love Kyle Duggar. He's my 35th and my second safety from Lenore Ryan, small school guy. I mean, he is big, fast, and can hit. 6'1", 217, will flat out go get guys. I love the athleticism. A very Jaquaski Tartt-like prospect, small school guy in Kyle Duggar. Another safety, Xavier McKinney, much less boom or bust, but, you know, solid. He's sort of the what I said about Justin Jefferson. He's that, but for safety prospects, Xavier McKinney out of Alabama. Only ran a 4.6, you know, just doesn't wow you with physicality, but just a solid player if you're looking for a starter probably for a long time on your defense in the second round or so. Ross Blacklock, defensive tackle out of TCU. Love the movement skills. Man, he just jumps out of his stance like a frog and can rush the passer a little bit, but still only had like 3 sacks. Something just wasn't there. Something didn't add up, left me wanting more despite some of the traits I liked from Ross Blacklock out of TCU at defensive tackle. Daniel Jeremiah had him going to the Niners at 31. Antoine Winfield Jr., safety out of Minnesota, 38. Jordan Elliott, interior defensive lineman, defensive tackle. Another pass rushing defensive tackle out of Missouri at 39. Jalen Johnson, cornerback from Utah at 40. Michael Pittman Jr., wide receiver from USC at 41. What worries me about Pittman and why I don't have a first round grade on him is just the age, the late breakout in college. He played in college for 5 years. He's 2 or 3 years older than some of these other wide receivers. I mean, these guys were breaking out when they were 18 years old. He wasn't breaking out until he was 22 in college. So it was a big difference there. 21, more like 21 or 22 for Michael Pittman, but it wasn't until his last year, fifth year senior, that he really had a big year in college. Jeremy Chinn, another small school guy with a lot of upside and a lot of height, weight, speed, out of Southern Illinois, 42. Lucas Niang, offensive tackle, TCU at 43. TCU's got a lot of prospects here. Matt Hennessy, center from Temple. I mean, this is a Kyle Shanahan guy if the 49ers are in a market for a center in round two. T. Higgins, wide receiver from Clemson, 45. Bryce Hall, cornerback from Virginia, 46. Go read Bryce Hall's scouting report and then go back and read Richard Sherman's scouting report coming out of college. I mean, they are very similar. So you're looking for someone who's a fit for the 49ers defense. He's got an injury, wasn't able to work out. I think he's going to be there a lot later than this. Maybe in the third round he'll be there, which would be a fantastic fit for the 49ers if they were to add a third. And then we're looking at some of the running backs here because I'm not taking a running back in round one. Maybe late round two, round three, if one of these guys is there, I could see Kyle Shanahan, look, and that's probably one of the dark horse positions, right? At 31, if Kyle Shanahan went for a running back and then cut Tevin Coleman or something like that. It's not insane. DeAndre Swift. This is the order I have the running backs. DeAndre Swift, 1. J.K. Dobbins, 2. Jonathan Taylor, 3. Cam Akers, 4. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 5. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I love him. He's going to be a fan favorite wherever he goes. Good in the passing game. He's tough, but he's only 5'7". His legs are like 4 inches long. So it just, you know, it definitely hurts him for the long speed. Cam Akers is the guy that I think will slide the most. That, I mean, he's just exactly how you build him. And he had an awful offensive line at Florida State. I like Cam Akers a lot, but he's my 4th. And really, those guys are all tight. That's why I kind of have them all grouped here at the end of my top 50. Some other guys I like, maybe sort of honorable mentions outside of the top 50 players. Julian Aquara, edge rusher from Notre Dame. Terrell Lewis, edge rusher from Alabama. Both sort of athletic, boomer bust type pass rushers. Brian Edwards from South Carolina, wide receiver, offensive tackle, Austin Jackson, I haven't mentioned yet, from USC, and offensive tackle, Ezra Cleveland from Boise State. Those guys are all sort of at the end of my top 50 players, and it's just tough. I just don't see the tape, and I know the athleticism is there for guys like Ezra Cleveland and Austin Jackson, and Ezra Cleveland, someone that I have coming up in the mock draft in the first round, but man, Cleveland just, it's not quite there. He worked out great. I didn't see it on tape. And Austin Jackson just gets beat up too often with power. And both those guys, kind of power is the issue, but both very athletic. So I can see why teams are going to swing on the athleticism for Austin Jackson and Ezra Cleveland, maybe late in round one. All right, that's my big board. Top 50 or so. Running backs, it's hard for me to put them in the top 50, but I wanted to talk about those guys too and have them listed in there just because, you know, they're good players. It's not their fault they're running backs. All right, let's finish this pre-draft up with the final mock draft. Here we go. The final mock draft. We don't have a lot of time. Let's run through this quickly. I'm sure you're mocked out at this point, as am I. But here we go. Here's my best guess of what goes down Thursday night. Number one, Joe Burrow to Cincinnati. Number two, Chase Young to Washington. Sounds like Washington stopped taking phone calls. I think those two picks are pretty locked in. Three, it starts to get interesting. And the talk all along was the Dolphins have all these picks. Let's move up to three. Make sure we get our guy. Nobody jumps in front of us. Now there's late talk again about the Dolphins trading up to three, but it's supposedly about an offensive tackle. And I mean, come on. I'm not buying that for 1 second. You, with this offensive tackle class, you like one guy so much that you think he's that much better than offensive tackle two, that you're going to jump the New York Giants to three to get an offensive tackle. I mean, if there's anything to this trade of them going up to number three, it's for a quarterback. You know, it's one of those where people heard, hey, we heard you're moving up to number three, talking to the Lions. What's that about? And they're like, offensive tackle. Yeah. We're going to trade up for an offensive tackle. I mean, that would be insanely stupid. That doesn't make sense on any level. And if they do that, like, come on, Dolphins, what are you doing? Stay at five and take a dang tackle. And you don't even know if the Giants are going to take a tackle after all. They might take Isaiah Simmons anyway. But I'm not having any of that happen. I'm having the Lions stick at three and drafting Jeffrey Okuda. Number four, the New York Giants do take an offensive tackle. My favorite tackle in this class. I've bounced around and tried so many different tackles and thought, oh, this team might like this and this style. I'm like, you know what? I've evaluated him. Wills is the best. Wills goes first. He's going to go number four overall to the New York Giants. And then here's what is interesting. After the combine, all we've heard, and it's got me believing it somewhat, all we've heard is the Dolphins love Herbert, and that's it. Tua's going to slide. And I will commend the Dolphins. If all of this other stuff they're throwing out there are smoke screens, and they got their guy that they wanted all along in Tua, they're okay with the medical. And not only did they have to not trade up to get him, they made everybody believe they didn't like him if they wanted him, so nobody's trading in front of them to get Tua. So after all of this, kudos to the Dolphins if it goes this way, and they trick everybody into believing that Tua's not their guy so they can sit back and get him at five. And maybe that's what this last-minute trade stuff is about, of them moving up to threes. They're just trying to thwart any other trade attempts of teams trying to get in front of them. But I'm going to have them sliding and not passing on Tua. Five, Tua to the Miami Dolphins. Six, then the Chargers go with Justin Herbert. Isaiah Simmons to the Carolina Panthers at seven. Tristan Wirfs, offensive tackle to the Cardinals at eight. I think that's a great fit too. The athletic offensive tackle fits with what Cliff Kingsbury likes to do. You know, a lot of screens getting him out in the move, zone running scheme. Definitely a good fit there. Derek Brown, number nine to the Jaguars. I had played with a bunch of trade scenarios here, and the one I like the most is probably the Falcons moving up. It's either Falcons or Broncos moving up from 15 or 16, getting up to 9 or 10. I think that's the most likely place for a trade. Every time I ran through it, I thought, yeah, maybe, but no, because then other players fell. There's a rumor that the Browns love Ezra Cleveland and that they would trade back and then take Cleveland like in the middle of round one, which I think is kind of insane, but maybe there's something to that. Maybe it's the Broncos want to jump all those teams for a wide receiver and they get up and draft a receiver. But the more I look at it, I think it's all offensive tackles early, that one of those receivers is still going to be there. And it's probably worth the Broncos to just sit back and either get a receiver that does fall to them or another really good player, and then maybe move up later like they did in the Locked On NFL mock draft and get a wide receiver after that. It's maybe not worth it, but they have some extra third round picks. So if they want to move up, they can probably make that happen. I just can't buy the Browns Ezra Cleveland thing at 15. I just can't make that part of it happen. And then I don't know if one of those other four tackles would get to 15. So I'm going to leave it as is. And that's, I think, pretty ideal for trades, is either 16 or 15 go up to 9 or 10. But that's not happening here. Andrew Thomas, offensive tackle, and perfect fit. Andrew Thomas is a left tackle. They signed a right tackle in free agency. So I just think Thomas to 10 fits. Number 11, CD Lamb goes to the New York Jets. Pick 12, CJ Henderson, cornerback to the Raiders. And my thought here is that Raiders go CJ Henderson at 12, then come back with Justin Jefferson at 19. Is that better than CD Lamb at 12 and whoever the third corner, which is a really steep drop at 19? So I went with them taking CJ Henderson because I think CD Lamb is the perfect fit for the Raiders with him going at 11. I'm going CJ Henderson 12. And then I'm going to shock some people here with my mock. I am going to put Henry Ruggs to the 49ers at 13, even over Jerry Jeudy. First of all, I don't know if Jerry Jeudy is actually going to be on the board here, but I feel like there's a Ruggs to 49ers connection that's happening, and I don't know why. I don't know if it's accurate. Henry Ruggs has said that no team has been in contact with him more than the 49ers. Kyle Shanahan had the Alabama offense on the screen in his little video. Is it a smoke screen, or does he love the Alabama wide receivers? I don't know. We'll find out. But for some reason, either Ruggs is going to go before the 49ers pick, or the Niners are locked in. Judy's going to go before the 49ers pick, or the 49ers are locked in on speed, want Ruggs. There's some late information, maybe about a knee for Jerry Jeudy. I don't know. I just feel like there's a connection, so I'm going to put Ruggs to the 49ers, even though I'd go Jeudy over Ruggs. Mekhi Becton, 14 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jerry Jeudy then is there for the Broncos at 15. Javon Kinlaw to the Falcons at 16. Kalavon Chaisson to the Cowboys at 17. Yetur Gross-Matos goes 18 to the Dolphins. Justin Jefferson, 19 to the Raiders. A.J. Terrell, 20 to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Denzel Mims, speed to, and it's got to be speed, right? If the Eagle, and that's another one, is Eagles maybe moving up for a wide receiver could make some sense. Maybe they want that Ruggs action. Christian Fulton, 22 to the Vikings. Cesar Ruiz, 23 to the Indianapolis. Why did I say Indianapolis? To the New England Patriots. Cesar Ruiz at number 23. Patrick Queen, LSU linebacker, 24 to the Saints. Jalen Reagor, 25 to the Vikings. Joshua Jones, number 26 to the Miami Dolphins. Jordan Love, trade up action here. Somebody comes up to get a quarterback. I don't know who, but the Seahawks are not going to pick at 27. Some of the players I might have put there are already gone. So this is the quarterback trade-up spot. It's not going to be 31 to the 49ers. It's going to be 27 to the Seahawks spot. Maybe a team like the Indianapolis Colts. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe somebody passes on the quarterback early. Maybe the Chargers say, no, we're going to wait. They come back in for a quarterback late in round one. Kenneth Murray, 28 to the Baltimore Ravens. Isaiah Wilson, big, strong offensive tackle, right tackle to replace the guy they lost in free agency who went to the Browns in Jack Conklin. Wilson goes 29. Brandon Ayuk, wide receiver out of Arizona State, very different than what's currently on the roster there at Green Bay, which is I like Reagor, I like Ayuk at 30 to the Green Bay Packers, maybe even Mims too. If he falls that far, it's going to be hard for the 49ers sitting at 31 if they do want to get a wide receiver there. And there's a team that's very likely to take a wide receiver, perhaps steal their guy at 30. Then at 31 for the 49ers, I have Ezra Cleveland going here, offensive tackle from Boise State. And then Jeff Gladney, the scrappy cornerback from TCU, going 32 to the Kansas City Chiefs. And the reason I put Ezra Cleveland in there for the 49ers is there's just so much buzz about Cleveland. Isaiah Wilson is another one that those guys are going to go first round, and you're going to be so surprised by how high Cleveland goes. And who knows, maybe the Browns thing is real and Cleveland even goes middle of round one, which I would like, because man, I really did not like Ezra Cleveland's tape. And this isn't necessarily what I would do mock. This is just me trying to predict some picks here. Ezra Cleveland looking like a near lock at this point, according to all the insiders, he's going to go in round one. Fits athletically the profile that the 49ers like. I don't think he had first round tape at all, but at least, you know, he's 6'6", 310 pounds, and really had a fantastic workout at the combine. He's 6'6", 311, smaller hands, 9 inches, which is kind of weird for how big he is, and shorter arms too, 33-inch arms. And he plays with short arms. That's what's weird, because a lot of times players have short arms, and you're like, yeah, so what? But you see it with Ezra Cleveland. That's one of the first things I noticed. He's almost like chest to chest with guys sometimes. And I went back. I was like, well, let's see this arm length. And, you know, it's whatever. It's an inch, but you can see it. Like, he plays kind of short armed. But, man, he's got the athleticism. He ran a 4.93, which is a great time for a guy that big at the combine. Really good 10-yard split, 1.73 seconds, 30-inch vertical, good broad jump. And he ran everything and really had a good shuttle, 4.46, 3-cone, 7.26. So just fantastic across the board workout numbers. And you can see some athleticism on tape and, you know, great fit for Kyle Shanahan's zone blocking scheme. So I could see why the 49ers would like him, would feel much better, just like the Jefferson thing I talked about earlier, would feel much better taking him after a trade down and adding more picks. I just didn't see anything near a finished product. I'd be worried about him getting beat up and he'd probably have to take a redshirt year in year one. I don't know if he'd be a great fit to come in and play guard early either, but I guess he probably could. But, yeah, and so play strength is a problem. The hand usage is a problem. needs to get stronger, needs better technique. But, you know, he's got the movement skills and he's got the size. And you know that Kyle Shanahan covets that stuff. So I could see Ezra Cleveland to the Niners at 31. And I have him taking Ruggs in this one. I mean, Lamb, Ruggs, Judy, we've talked about it. Take one of those guys. Daniel Jeremiah's mock had him passing on two of those to take Jefferson. Again, a very Shanahan-like player. So you could see it. I would not give a high grade to a 49ers draft that took Jefferson at 31 and took Jefferson at 13 and Ezra Cleveland at 31. I would not give that draft a high grade, but I could absolutely see it happening. And the fact that it seems so plausible makes me think that, you know, there's something to that. It's kind of be a nightmare scenario. I mean, there could be definitely, don't get me wrong, there'd be worse scenarios than those picks. But if I'm just reading the tea leaves right now, that's a plausible scenario that I would not love that could definitely happen. But it could go right. You know, I mean, I'm not 100% on the guys that I love being great and the guys I don't love not being great. So there's an area I would draft Jefferson and Ezra Cleveland. 13 and 31 are not those spots. But I've got them going Ruggs and Ezra Cleveland here in this projection of the first round. And who knows, maybe I'll wake up in the morning and do another final one if I don't feel good about this one. And I seem to change it every hour when I hear more stuff or watch another player. But that's what I've got it right now for the draft. It's draft day. Enjoy it. We'll find out exactly who will be the next 49ers very soon, and we'll talk about it tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.